Our scripture reading this morning is the familiar story told in Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. Let us listen for God's particular word to us this morning. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where this Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me so that I might go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw Mary, his mother, the child, and they knelt down before him and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now when they had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and shouting lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mi nombre es Mary Jean Boatler. Soy pastora de la Iglesia Presbiteriana en los Estados Unidos. Translation. My name is Mary Jean Boatler. I am a pastor in the Presbyterian Church in the United States. The first time I traveled to South America, it was with a group from North America, Central America, and South America. In the 3 weeks there, I repeated those two sentences countless times. It was about the only thing I could say in Spanish, which is good because it really is the only thing I can say. And for any of you who speak Spanish, you know I don't say it very well. Everywhere we went in Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina, we were identified as pastors. That was our reason for being there. That was our entree as we visited with cardinals and noted theologians in the area. As we greeted moderators and stated clerks, soy pastora, I am a pastor. I thought it was the most significant statement I could make about myself in that situation. But I discovered differently toward the end of the journey. In the center of Buenos Aires is a large plaza called the Plaza de Mayo. For decades, a group of Argentine bereaved mothers and grandmothers silently walked around that plaza holding pictures of their missing children and grandchildren who had disappeared in a period in Argentina known as the Dirty War. Over 30,000 children were secretly abducted by the military, leaving families without any clue as to what happened. These brave women who marched in defiance around the plaza wore white headscarves stitched with their children's names, symbolizing the blankets of those lost children who had disappeared. When they began their silent protest, it was assumed that they would all be killed. It was an act of unthinkable bravery for these peasant women to stand up to the brutal military regime. The mothers and grandmothers made their final march in January of 2006. But they still gather on Thursdays, every Thursday, to march for other causes. But they've come to terms with the fact that the government is indifferent to the fate of their children. Our group went to the plaza during our stay to walk with the mothers and then to meet with them after the march. As I joined one of the mothers, my first inclination was to introduce myself as I had been doing during my travel. Soy pastora, I'm a pastor. But then suddenly, the emptiness of that introduction struck me. This was not a seminary president. This was not a moderator or a cardinal. This was a mother whose future had been robbed by the torture and death of her daughter. This was a mother whose pregnant daughter had faced indescribable brutality and whose grandchild had either been cruelly aborted, killed on a torture table, or given away. This was a mother who had cried for justice, who went to the church for help, and who found it hard to distinguish between the church and the government. I am a pastor. At that moment, it would have been much more of a confession of guilt than anything else. But I turned to the woman and in very broken Spanish said, "Yo también soy madre." I am a mother, too. With tears in her eyes, she took my arm in her arm, and we silently walked together. Our scripture reading this morning is a reminder for me of that experience in Argentina. Amid the gladness of the Christmas season, the blessedness of this season with its emphasis on joy and peace and celebration, we read the story of the massacre of innocent children. It is a part of the Christmas story for sure, but it's a part that, well, we like to forget. We tend to put a period after, then opening their presents, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, period. It is not meant to be a final period, however. It's only a period that allows us to catch our breath before our breath is taken away by the next part. It is a story of uncontrolled power, of trickery and trechery. It's a story of the flight of one mother across borders in order to provide safety for her child, and the tears of another mother who wept for the children for whom safety was not provided. And in her weeping, In her weeping, she could not be consoled. Our story this morning begins with those wise astrologers who had seen a star in the sky that led them to believe that a king had been born. They traveled to Jerusalem to find the child. As they began to ask around, word gets of their inquiry reaches Herod. It becomes clear immediately that he is not pleased with this turn of events. One king is certainly not overjoyed by the news of the birth of a competing king. Herod summons the Magi, and he tries to trick them. Go and find the child and send word to me that I also might come and worship him. Now, it's inconceivable that the Magi would be taken in by such a show of devotion, but at this point in the story, we're led to believe that these wise men take Herod at his word. They leave the palace with the intention of returning and giving the king the information he needs in order to destroy the child. After the Magi arrive at Mary and Joseph's home and worship the child, they are warned in a dream to take another route home in order to avoid Herod. Later, the angel warns the new parents of Herod's intentions, and the family flee to Egypt, where they are refugees. Meanwhile, back at the palace, Herod is waiting for the Magi. Now, I don't know how long it takes him to discover that they're not going to return, but when he realizes that they have tricked him, he is furious. Isn't it amazing that he feels so threatened by this, by just this little baby? He feels that he is losing control, and he is willing to do anything to regain that control. And so, in a fit of anger, he orders the soldiers to travel through Bethlehem and kill all of the male children under 2 years of age. And the soldiers obey. And when the soldiers' horses leave and the dust settles, the little town of Bethlehem is still again, except for one sound of Rachel crying from the grave. She is weeping for the children who would be no more, and she refuses to be consoled. What a haunting way for the Christmas story to end. And what do we do with such an ending? Where do we find ourselves in the story? Well, it's certainly not with Herod. He was a man who had such little respect for human life that he was willing to destroy it in order to fulfill his own need to retain power. From other sources, we learn that he also had two of his own children killed. What kind of monster can order the killing of their own children? No, on our worst day, we would not find ourselves in Herod. Of course, we would like to find ourselves in the story of the wise astrologers. They make all the right moves, don't they? They see the star and they recognize its significance. They make this long journey to Bethlehem for only one purpose, to worship the baby. They offer to the child the finest gifts available to them. They are astute enough to hear the voice of warning and skip the palace on their way home. They save the baby from sure death. We would be foolish not to want to play that role. But there's another role. It is the role of Rachel. It's a part that it's easy to miss in the story if we're not careful. She is the one who remains long enough after the wise men have returned home and long after the throne of Herod has been left vacant. She not only weeps, but more importantly, she refuses to be consoled. She refuses to accept the excuses and explanations that others might give for the massacre of children. She refuses to forget. I believe that's the part that we as a church are called to play in the Christmas pageant. You know, there are too many people vying for the role of the angels and shepherds of Mary and Joseph and those with great wisdom. We need a few people who will stick around after the music has stopped and the lights have been taken down and the manger has been stored and the nativity figures have been packed away. We need those who will stick it out to the end. Those who will look out onto the world and weep. Those who refuse to be consoled or to accept explanations that are often given for the injustice and tragedy that goes on in this world, the hunger, the starvation, the lack of compassion for those fleeing from danger with their children, the deep poverty in a land of plenty, and the ongoing wars. It's not an easy part to play. The world is full of people who want to explain a tragedy in a way that makes it a little less tragic. Those who have only memorized one verse from the Bible and quote it out of context, the poor will always be with you. There are those who want to find ways to make us less responsible when children die of malnutrition or people are denied medical treatment or communities are destroyed by war. What the Christmas story needs is a few good people who refuse to believe that pain and hunger and the killing of innocent children is ever acceptable. What the Christmas story needs is a few good people who are not consoled when they drop that dollar in the Salvation Army bucket or when they collect food for warm, as important as both might be, but who are willing to change their own patterns of living and thinking, to get involved in changing laws and structures in order that our community and the world community is a kinder and safer and more just place for all God's children. Those brave mothers and grandmothers of Argentina, even today, there are those who attempt to console them. All they ever really wanted was answers. They wanted to know what happened to their children and their grandchildren. They are constantly told that they need to get on with life and put the past behind them. But they refuse to be consoled. For over a decade, they continue to march, and even today on Thursdays, they stand in witness to all of the atrocities going on in the world. And on behalf of the mothers of Argentina, and on behalf of all the people in the world who have been dealt with violently, on behalf of the children who will die of hunger today, on behalf of those who will spend a cold and homeless night tonight, on behalf of those who have been turned away at our borders, on behalf of those who are tucked away in poverty in the world, Rachel weeps. Rachel weeps today. Why? Ella también es madre. She is a mother too. Amen.